Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
It's a constant thing. Where you are currently in your life is really, you might not think it or know it, but it's really a result. It's a product of your decisions. It's a product of the decisions that you have made in this life. And maybe some of us have more opportunities to make decisions than others, but guess what? You still make those decisions. You decided to come tonight. That was a good decision, I think. Well done on one good decision for the week. Even if you feel like all the others were horrible, you made a good decision by coming. Not because I'm so special, no, just because there's something in fellowship. There's something about worshiping together. I just love, even like when I listen to any music, that chorus, that when that choir comes through in any song, it's really something for me. And that's what worship really is. It brings the voices together. And just how do you make decisions? And I mean, you always need to make decisions. I read some stats in the week. I think we make about 35,000 decisions a day, they said, on average, adults in the Western world. The amount of decisions we just make around what we're going to eat in a day is ridiculous. I don't want to misquote it, but like, am I going to have another bite? That's a decision. Am I going to go for that chocolate that's calling me from the cupboard after lunch, after dinner, after whatever? Like, you know it's there, it's calling you, and you need to make a decision. And every time you say no, you've made a decision to say no to that chocolate. Well done. If you did. If you didn't, this is a Grace Church. Amen. So we have so many decisions to make. Some decisions we almost make on autopilot, and that's called habits. And habits are decisions that you don't think about. And some habits are good and some habits are not so good. But I was really in the song, the first or the second song that we sang, really just struck by this, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now we know that, we quote that, but what does it mean? If we need to apply that to decision making, he is the way. What's the way? What way should I go, Father? Well, go the Jesus way. Okay, what does that look like? Again, zoom out. Like every decision in your life, you're either going to step closer to your calling, your destiny, your end point, where you're wanting to go, or away from it. Like, you're not necessarily, you're called to be a global preacher. You want to be the next Joseph Prince. You feel that God has called you. He's woken you up at night. The angels have spoken to you, whatever. You feel like you know you're called. Guess what? You're probably not going to get a phone call from Joseph Prince and saying, hey guys, I'm retiring. Here's the keys to my office. It's probably not going to happen. Okay. Sorry to bum you tonight. So this is going to end up good. I promise you. But you're going to have to make decisions in life that will set you up, that will prepare you to get you where you know you're going or where you're wanting to be going. You need to set up and prepare your hearts. You need to prepare your character. Decisions determine character, endurance, patience. Those things determine your character, because your gifting can take you places where your character might never keep you. And that's just sad. You get to a place, you get to this promotion, but your character wasn't developed in such a way that it's going to sustain you there. So your gift can open doors for you. You can be the best musician in the world. Like just one of those wunderkids. And you're just like you're just at the age of 4, you already composed music and stuff. But if you don't have character, like, how many rich and famous people die young? Not because of their gift, because of the lack of character. Because of decisions at the end of the day that they make. So your character determines as well the decisions that you make. Jesus, the way, the truth. How do I make decisions? I make a decision for the way of Jesus, the way that I go. And then truth. What is truth in this situation? I don't want to use just ridiculous examples the whole night, but you can think about it. What is it that like someone invites you? This is the new money-making scheme. I mean, this thing is better than Bitcoin. It's going to make you millions. Is that the truth? Who knows? Probably not. I mean, they're going to make money off of your money. But you need to decide, what is the truth? I'd make a decision for the way, the truth. And then what do you really find? The result of it is the life. The life that you've always dreamed of. The life of adventure. The life that is more, the overabundant, the abundant life. That's what you get. But we want a ticket, say, this way to abundant life. And what abundant life is, it's determined on your perspective. It's like, is it riches? Is it fame? Is it success? Is it that everyone would love you and be happy with you and people will stop fighting with you? Maybe that's your picture of abundant life. But guess what? That's probably also not going to happen. Because even if you find Christ, people are not going to like you. Like, who's ever been persecuted? Like, I mean, We don't even realize it, but it happens. Like you're at a braai and you stick your neck out for Jesus. You're like, yeah, buddy, probably that's not how it is. And then someone just yaps at you and say like, but how do you know and who are you? And like, no, I'm just Peter. I just read my Bible. I can give you some pointers in scripture, but like, it's not nice to stick your neck out. Again, that was a decision. But following Jesus, following the way and the truth leads to the life. I've got 8 points. I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of them. Okay, they say if you prep a sermon, 3 points. I've got 8, so let's see. How do we make decisions? How to make great decisions with God? How to make decisions like kings in this world? First one that some of you probably know is follow the peace. Follow the peace. Now, I want to give a curveball to that tonight. I want to give a curveball to Colossians 3 and 15 that says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. What we often do is we let the peace of us rule in our hearts. Not the peace of God. Oh, I'm not at peace with resigning my job. No, I wasn't. But God was. It was His peace because He called me to it. I can let His peace rule in my heart. And how do I know what God's peace is? God's peace is what He calls you to. I do it because He said it. That's enough. Not because I'm not shivering or I'm not anxious or I'm not worried. No, I just do it because He said it. His peace. He's at peace with the decision. He's at peace with calling me. He's at peace with giving me this opportunity. Not my peace. Well, you would probably feel a sense of peace, but it's going to be spiritual. It's not going to be natural and it's probably not going to be soulish. It's probably not. I didn't sleep for 2 nights before I resigned my job to do ministry. Now, I didn't know that God has a consulting opportunity for me just literally 2 sentences into my resignation, but He did. So He was at peace. He knew. He was working it out already. I didn't. So did I make a decision with my peace? Well, technically, probably yes, because I just had, like I said, some targets in my life because I knew that I was called. And I said, by the age of 30, I told Natasha, if I haven't resigned and followed ministry by the age of 30, kick me out. And then divorce me, just kick me out until I do and then take me back. Why was that? That was what I knew I was called to do. Now, I'm not saying that's for everyone. I'm not saying that's the age that you should do it. I'm just saying that was my conviction. That's what I felt God tell me. And guess what? I did it at the age of 29 and worked out better. And guess what? That's not the end of decisions. There's still more decisions. I'm currently facing decisions, making decisions about finances and opportunities and ministry. And when we had to start the Afrikaans service, that was a decision. Like, okay, Lord, are we ready? Well, sort of. Are we ever ready? Not really. Are we? No. But God, can we make this work? And yes, we can make it work. God, give me a word. Become all things to all men so that you might win some. Okay, God, that's a good word. We'll definitely reach people, Afrikaans people who won't come to the English service. God, it's going to be more work. God, we don't have the team. The way, Jesus. More people going to hear from Jesus. The truth, more people definitely going to hear the truth. Living the life. One day we're going to hand over that service. I don't know when. And that will continue way past me because it's something that we've invested in that will stand. And that's the beauty of something eternal. Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. So if we don't tap into that, we're not going to live fulfilled lives. We're not going to live fulfilled lives. You can do whatever. Like the richest and famous people, I promise you, they cry themselves to sleep. I promise you. Maybe not every night, okay? But there are nights. If they don't tap into eternity, if they don't live for a bigger purpose, they're probably not going to do it. Let the peace, follow the peace of God, not your peace. Well, your peace will align in the end, but like we just do what He said because He said it. And says, and be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful for the opportunities that we have. A lot of people cannot make decisions. A lot of people, they don't have options. What am I going to eat this morning? They just eat what's there. Or there's nothing, so that's not an option for them. They don't have an opportunity of their career path, what they're going to do, where they're going to go on holiday, because they never go on holiday. They don't have a career path. They just get up and they work, and they've worked since they were 6 or 7 years old. A lot of people in the world currently like that. So we can be thankful. The way we approach decisions sets us up either to see this as a privilege, as an opportunity, or like decision fatigue. Now, decision fatigue is a real thing. That's why Mark Zuckerberg wears a gray t-shirt every day, because he says he's got more energy than to make better decisions. He does want to think about what to wear. I think it's a bit of his personal brand image as well, which was a decision way back, but I can see the sense in it. Sometimes I get home and I'm just like, Natasha asks me, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, I don't care. I can't make another decision today. I'm just moch. I'm like, I've made decisions all day. And really, decisions is leadership, it's management, it's influence. Second point, how to make great decisions. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. I think the words that came out, all of them basically were in line with the message tonight, which is awesome when the Holy Spirit sets it up like that. Spend time with God. Martha and Mary. You can serve, you can work, but God, I need more money. I need more. I need to prove myself. I need to do this homework. I need to. Well, you can, you need to, but like, just what is first? What is your main priority? Is it sitting with the Father? Is it dreaming with Him? Tapping into the kingdom? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, I'm going to read it from the Passion, says, don't be pulled in different directions. How we make decisions? Single focus. Single focus, bigger picture. Don't be pulled in different directions. You see the word that I had about the tiger? Different directions, this way or that way. Which way is the tail? Which way is the mouth? Which way is forward? Which way is back? If we zoom out, what is kingdom? What is kingdom? I think that's why Jesus didn't come as a tiger. Oh, he personified more like a lion. A lion, you know, this is the front. It's got the mane. Amen? It's the main side, the front side. It's not like which way, like a zebra or a tiger. You don't know which way to go. It says, don't be pulled in different directions. Know where you're going. Don't be worried about a thing. When we come to decisions, we can so be so worried. What if I make the wrong decision? What if I take the wrong job? Or what if I've decided to study and I decided wrong? And now it's 4 years in, it's 150,000 rand or how many debt you have. What if it was the wrong decision? Now what happens? You pacify. You don't want to make the next decision because you're scared you're going to make a wrong decision, so you're not going anywhere. It says, don't be pulled in different directions. Don't be worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Saturated, drenched with the presence of God. Offering your faithful requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you. There you go. The peace of God, again, not your peace, His peace, will make that transcends human understanding, will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. I think all the ladies love this verse because it says, tell Him all the details of your life. the next time Natasha's going to ask me for the details, I'm going to say, go speak to God. I get the stare there, so I'm going to preach this side. I said, if you want the details, just ask me the questions. And if I don't have the details, I'm not going to make them up. Okay. It says in verse 7, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding. We want to make sense of everything. We want to understand everything. We want to know the end from the beginning. We want to know if I do this, then I'm going to be so rich. If I do this, I'm going to give up this. Or if I'm going to move here, I'm going to have this job. Or if I'm going to go on this date, am I going to marry this girl? Like, just let the peace of God guide you. Don't be so focused on the end point. Live in the moment. It says, in that, He will make the answers known to you. He will make the answers known to you. It's His job to give the answers. But don't just search Him. Don't just seek Him for answers. He has the answers, but seek Him for who He is. Seek the Lord for being the Lord. Seek the Father for being the good Father. And yes, in that, you will have answers. You will be drawn, but it will be in a loving way. The life, the truth, and the way, the truth, and the life. With that, then, point three, don't worry about a thing. Oh, how we wish this was, we could just do this. We could just apply this. I'm like, Lord, why do we worry? Why do we worry? Matthew 6 and verse 25 says, this is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. Making decisions is usually drenched in worry. Ah, Lord, I'm staying up at night. I don't know what to do. I'm worried I'm going to make the wrong decision. I'm worried that I'm not in the right place. I'm worried. He says, don't worry about your life. Again, if we zoom out in the kingdom, like, we're okay. If you have Jesus, you're okay no matter what. If you make every decision wrong, but you receive Christ, that's the one decision you make, then your life is a success. That's good. I like that. If you make every other decision wrong, you're probably going to be with Jesus sooner than you should or than what He's planned for you, but it's okay. You're going to be with Jesus. Amen. That's still fine. In the bigger picture, you're okay. So I think we're just way too zoomed in on the detail. Way too zoomed in on the detail. Like, is this chocolate the one that's going to make me fat? Well, probably not. But if you have the same chocolate every day, then it's that chocolate. Yeah, the bar one or whatever you have. It says, don't be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided. Food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Is there no more? Isn't there more to life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? What he's saying there is, we're so worried about food, but he says the fact that your heart is beating. Where do you find the provision for that? We're so worried about clothing, he says, but the fact that you have a body that's working, organs, he says, where do you find provision for that? So if God gives you a heart that beats, won't he give you clothing to cover that heart? If God gives you a body that moves and that can develop and that can move around, won't he give you the food that you need to sustain that? If God gave us Jesus, won't he give you with him all things? See, it's all about perspective. And I'm like, tonight I'm preaching to myself the loudest, so I'm with you guys. I zoom in way too much in decision making, but what, and Lord, and really, and like God cannot give another opportunity, like as if, huh? If I miss this boat, then there's no other. No, there were two boats. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat. Like Peter said, just yes. Jesus found him. Don't know about you, God found me. I wasn't really looking for him. I was pretty drunk when he found me. New Year's Eve, Jeffreys Bay. He found me. In my lowest point, he found me. Like I made a good decision there. I said, Lord, I don't want to stay here. Lord, I don't want to go down this trajectory because this is not going where I'm wanting to go. So I made a decision. I said, Lord, I'm giving over. I'm stopping. I'm going to stop trying to be perfect and popular and everything. I'm just going to stop it and I'm just going to follow you. The way, the truth, and the life. I didn't dream to live the life that I now do, but God did. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about it. Verse 31, Matthew 6 says, for so then, forsake your worries. Jesus is really an anti-worry campaign here in Matthew 6. Take no thought for your life. Forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Like we're believers. We shouldn't chase after these things. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your body requires? So above all, verse 33, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. I love the passion there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. That word seek there is look for, attain, follow after. But then the word first is beautiful. It could be translated maybe, I believe, more accurately as chiefly. Seek chiefly. Seek at the top of everything that you seek. Seek the kingdom. And seek the righteousness, not that you work for, no, that you receive. I've read this verse in many translations this week, and some of them just get it totally wrong. Like, who's Peter to say that the Bible's wrong? Well, I know my God. Amen. And I see in different translations, and if you find one that says it like you believe it should be, then like I just want to stick to that. Amen. Because it says seek first, and then I go look at the Hebrew and it says chiefly. It says above all things. It doesn't say seek only. But it says seek firstly. When I make a decision in life, I actually use that as a principle. I'm like, well, God, I'm not only going to sit with my nose in the Bible the whole day. I mean, that's not feasible. But I'm going to make sure that the kingdom comes first. When I make a decision, when I have to give up on something, I would not give up on kingdom things. I would rather give up on worldly things. Because it says seek first, seek chiefly, seek above all. And then what happens? All these other things are added. The things that the heathen look after, look for, attain to, work hard for, get depressed for, be anxious for, die young for. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow. Refuse. God's not going to do this. You're going to have to do this. Refuse. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no worry into tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be all right. Amen. We really applied this in lockdown. Like, where are we going to be next week? When are we going to have the next church service? Who are we going to see? When are we going to see our family? Like, we don't know. Not today. It's not happening today. So tomorrow we'll think about it again. Oh no, tomorrow's still lockdown. Next Sunday, when are we back in church? No, we don't know. But it's okay. Take every day by day. Like, you guys moved. I know a few guys who moved, a few families who moved in lockdown. I knew a few babies that were born in lockdown. Like, and I spoke to Chart about this, and Chart said, like, he really, they live by this. Like, how, when is the baby in? Can the father be there? Like, we don't know. Like, baby's not coming today, so we don't worry about it today. We make plans. We know if this comes, we're going to go to this place, and we're going to go to that hospital, and we've got this doctor, but we're not worrying about it. And I know it's easier said than done, but it's not really that difficult. Because you can take every thought captive, and worry is a thought. And you take it captive and you bring it to the obedience of Christ, which is Christ at the cross. Is he worried about your baby being born in lockdown? No, he's not. It's provided for. Is he worrying about which job you're going to take? He's not worried about it. He probably cares a bit because he cares about you. But he's not going to fall or get off the cross. He's no longer there. Amen? So he can't get off the cross. The sacrifice is paid. It's done. Signed in blood. It's yours. Refuse to worry. Forsake your worries. Don't worry. Don't be like the unbelievers. This one segues nicely into point four, which is be single-minded. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom. Chiefly, firstly, chase after God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Remember that if you feel called to be the next Joseph Prince, you're going to seek the kingdom. The problem is if you're going to seek your ministry. If you're going to try and build your throne and your altar and your platform and your podium, that's not kingdom. But that's what God has called me to. Yes, but let God work out the details. We don't seek ministry. We don't seek opportunity. We don't seek promotion. We don't seek platform. We don't even seek influence. We seek kingdom. And when we seek kingdom, promotion comes from the Lord. Not from your conniving or you working it behind the scenes or you like giving a tithe. Sure, I'm saying a lot of things that's not in my notes. Promotion doesn't come from those things. Promotion comes from the Lord. Seek first the kingdom, not your ministry, not your opportunity. I mean, Shane walked away from 10 years, spent 10 years to get a church going and then walk away from it. Why? Kingdom. Because there's more that he's called to step out and to go and do what God has called him to do. Not to be comfortable. I remember, I think we were comfortable for 2 weeks before we planted Tigerberg. Like 2 weeks. Natasha and I was like, this is the life. We can do this. It was myself, it was Shane and Etienne, and then the whole team. So Etienne was running the dream team. I was running ministry. Like in between, Shane was preaching. We had a dream team. We actually started doing schedules. Guys, can you believe it? Devin, please take the Sunday off. We don't need you. In Grace Life, that's unheard of. 2 weeks, maybe three. Shane said, no. It's time. Like, what's time? No, it's time to plant a church. Why? Because it's kingdom, not comfort. It's time to plant a church. I don't know how many guys you've impacting currently in Tigerberg, but they would not have been if we didn't do that. It's not about comfort. God's more interested in your character than your comfort. Be single-minded. Make a kingdom decision. Verse 5.5. Focus your decision-making capabilities. Focus. Take things as they come. One challenge, one day at a time. Do the next right thing. But what is this going to lead to? Well, who cares? How do I know what the next right thing is? Let God tell you. Spend time with Jesus. Go with his peace. If he tells you, do it. But this is probably not what I want to be or where I'm going, or this is not the town that I want to live in. Well, I didn't pick Stellenbosch. And I'm here. I don't, like, people ask me, like, they want to go do ministry in Stellenbosch. I was living in Gauteng. I was like, I'm sure that was God. Like, really? I'm sure. Like, when you pray about all the towns in the world, where you're going to do ministry, where you're going to battle it out for the Lord, you're going to, on the front lines, I'm sure Stellenbosch came up. And then, like, 10 years later, here I am. Like, and I'm looking at God and I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Isn't it funny how God just has a sense of humor like that? Stellenbosch needs Jesus. Wherever you live or go or move, they need Jesus. So, focus decision-making capabilities. One thing at a time. Make it kingdom. Not everything and all the T's and C's and the fine print with it. Sixth point. Make decisions with God, following his ways and his counsel. Proverbs 8 and verse 32 says, "So listen, my sons and daughters, to everything I tell you, for nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways." Oh, I love that. Listen, nothing will bring you more joy. You might not think it. I don't always think it. Like, God, why another another meeting or another service or another church or another thing that I need to give up. Lord, I've given up so much. I didn't really. I've gained much more than I've ever given up. Like Paul said, the things that I gave up, I counted as done. I counted as done. Like, what are we getting? We're getting the life that we're enjoying. We don't always know that that would be the life. It doesn't look like our picture. Guess what? Can I tell you something? It doesn't look like the picture that your parents might have for you either. That's sometimes more difficult. But it's not about that. It's about honoring your parents, not obeying them. That's a word for someone. It's honoring your parents, not obeying them. If you're an adult, you honor them, you don't obey them. If you feel called to, you're more obliged to obey God than your parents. Honor them, explain to them. If they don't understand, that's okay. My parents are only starting to understand my decisions now. Even though they supported it, they did not understand it. And that's okay. It's not their responsibility to take care of my decisions because I'm an adult. If you're under their house and roof, that's different. Then you're tapping into their authority and their place. But if it's outside, then you have freedom to live what God has called you to live. Nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. Listen to my counsel, for my instruction will enlighten you, and you'll be wise not to ignore it. God only wants good for you. God only wants good for you. As I say, trust me. I've tried this. Go live the life that God has called you to live. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, we have become his poetry, his workmanship, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planted in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. God has planted. He's created you. Oh, his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Created in Christ. He made you the way that he made you. If I look around, none of us are the same. None of us look the same. None of us should look the same. None of us should be the same. We have one spirit, one mind, one unity, one church, one God, one baptism, the word says. But we do not have just one replica, one clone of each other. If you've seen in the movies, you just see like in the Matrix, you see just the same of everyone. That's scary. That's weird. That's freaky. That's not what God wants. Because each and every one of you, and me included, we bring a piece of God to the party. We bring a different flavor of God, a different skill of God, a different character of who God is. Maybe you're just so loving. That's who God is. Maybe you're just so caring. That's who God is. Maybe you're a bit straighter than some of the others. You just say it as it is. Sometimes that's how God is. But we all together, and that's the beauty of church. We are one body under the head, Christ. Rooted in Christ. This was amazing. I saw this today. We are rooted in Christ. He's the head. So you know that you've got a brain stump. I don't know what it's in English. But you're rooted upwards. Like we're not rooted downwards. Because our roots are in Christ and Christ is the head. No, I know Christ is in us, but in the body picture now that Paul uses. We are rooted in Christ. So we are free. We can move. But we should move it with the body. We should move with the church. If you decide where you're going to go, is there a good church there? How many people think about that last or when they get there? Is there a good church there? I would rather go to where a good church is and earn less. I promise you. I promise you. I've been looking for churches a long time in my life. I've been out of grace, in grace, out of grace. Why? Oh, just because of a church. If you don't go to a good church, you're going to get out of grace. It's just how it is. And you don't want to live a life without that. If God sends you to go and plant it, speak to us. We'll help you. But don't do it by yourself. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Now, if everyone is enfolded into Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Everything. Christ is the new creation. And when we're in him, we become one with him, one with the new creation. And we live a life. And the old things have passed away. So, I don't know when you got born again. I got born again after I decided what I'm going to study. Now, God knew what his plans were for my life. But I had at a point say like, okay, God, I got born again now. So, what I studied, was that really from you? Because I wasn't born again. I didn't really know how to ask you. I didn't really know how to find guidance. Now, don't go back and like delete everything in your life that you did, and like God wasn't in that. I mean, that will make you crazy. That's not what you want to do. But you can just say, God, you can make all things work together for good. Romans 8 and verse 28. So God, I didn't necessarily pray 5 hours and fast and share with you and ask you, what should I go study? I personally just, I didn't know. So I went and I studied something I had the opportunity to study, which is a privilege. And I went and I studied something that gave me options. I'm so glad I did. But God knew what I did, I would need options. But now I don't go back and say, oh, now I need to reset and go write matric again and find new subjects. Maybe if God calls you to do that, but He can make all things work together for good. Even your mistakes, even your bad decisions, even the decisions that you made without Him, and even the ones that we're going to make now and in the future. So again, it gives us just the freedom to actually make a decision. Make a decision with God, move forward, and go for it. New things, good things come from God. Make bold decisions. Point seven, the perfect number. No? Make bold decisions with God. Not by yourself, not to prove a point, not to test God, please. We don't test God. We do what He says. You decide if you want to receive the power from on high. You decide how far you are going to involve the Holy Spirit in your life and in your decision. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." How do you make good decisions? With power. Make it boldly. With love. Not just for my sake, but for the kingdom, for God, His sake. He is love. And of a sound mind. I'm not crazy. I can make a decision. I'm not so fearful. The Holy Spirit's in me. It's not the spirit of fear. Holy Spirit, I feel a bit fearful in this situation. Help me. Spend time with Him. Get to a point where you're under control. Sound mind. Love of God. Flowing through you. God, I want to make a decision. What comes up in your heart? Then ask God, is this from you? Then go into the Word. See if it aligns with the Word. Feel God said, I need a new husband. This husband is not following God the way he should. Well, check it in the Word. It's probably not going to be there. Check it in with counsel. There's safety in the multitude of counselors, it says in Proverbs. Check it in with your mentors, your pastors, the people that help you guide your life. They're probably going to tell you, no. Okay, no, it's not God. It's a different spirit. It's fear. It's not from God. So we don't fear, but we make decisions in power, with love and a sound mind. And this one, the eighth one, we got there. Woo. This is really something that has stirred in my heart the last literally 2 days. Is expect a good outcome. Expect glory. Expect it to work out. Like, the worst thing that can happen is that it doesn't work out and God makes it work out for your good. It just takes longer. Because He says, Romans 8:28, all things. No, but what about my decision? No, all things. Yeah, but you're not so special that you're not included. Sorry, David. All things work out for your good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That will work out. Colossians 1 and verse 27 says, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. Christ inside of you, the hope. This morning we spoke about hope and that we have a better hope because we have a new covenant, a new high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not according to Aaron and the old system. But we have an expectation, Christ inside of us. So say you have a decision between two towns. Is it really that important? Because Christ is going to go with you to each of those towns. So, yeah, you can get it wrong and you can get like lonely and desperate and like you can get outside of church, but Christ is in you. He's going with you. Where should I go on holiday this December? I was planning to go to Bali or Mauritius and now, Lord, it's not working out. Well, it's not that important a decision, sorry. If you ask like, Lord, where can I go and minister? Like, where am I going to have opportunities? And like, should I go to a Muslim country? Like, that's a pray about that. Like, if you want to have an adventure, like Shane says, take a backpack full of Bibles and book a ticket to Pakistan. Like, you'll have an adventure, I promise you. You're probably going to go be with Jesus soon, but that's also fine. I love this. The Passion says, living within you is Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. There's an expectation of glory. I am bound to make a good decision versus I'm so afraid that I make the wrong decision. What do you think is going to work out better? I'm going to make a good decision. I've got the counsel of the Holy Spirit. I've got the body of Christ. I've got the peace of God in me. I've got the power of love. I've got Jesus working in me. I've got the Spirit leading me. I've got the Word of God guiding me. I'm expecting a good outcome. I mean, we have an unfair advantage when it comes to decision making. How do you make decisions without God? You bring your list and you pros and cons and you bring the spreadsheet out. I love spreadsheets, okay, but I don't often make decisions with them because I make them with peace. When Natasha and I did the math to come to Cape Town, she had to resign her job. I found a new job, and I don't know, I think it's maybe a bit different then or now, but moving to the Cape, you never got an increase because they said, I think you earned about 20% less here, even though life costs is about, I would say, 30 or 40% more. And we worked out, we had the spreadsheet out, we did the budget, and it did not work out. And we looked at each other and we said, let's go. So it doesn't have to work out. It is not as God, it's not as we plan it, but as He's planned it. The mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for His people. And God wants everyone to know it. Expect a good outcome. You might not know all the details, but you know God is going to be in it. You might not know all the fine print, the T's and C's, the rules and regulations, but you know it's grace. You know that God is going to be with you. God is going to be in it with you. He's going to go with you. I don't know how I'm going to do this, Lord. I know. Just come. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I pray, Lord, I don't know. How are you going to provide for me and my wife? I need to be responsible now. I've got a wife. That makes it even more difficult. Lord, how am I going to do this? He said, it's not how, it's why. I said, Lord, how will you provide for me? Is it going to be partnership? Is it going to be a salary? Is it going to be work, part-time? What is it? You know what God answered? He said, and I will be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6. God doesn't really care how He's going to provide for you. He knows that He is going to provide for you. Might look different for any one of us. Might look different in different stages. It might look different at different times of the month sometimes. Sometimes it's a salary. Sometimes it's a payment. Sometimes it's a box of whatever. We had a few of those in lockdown. Bell rings. Oh, heater. Thank you. We don't really need it, but we love it. It's our favorite heater now. Natasha and I like sort of fight for it. Who's going to have that heater? We didn't have it. We didn't buy it. We just received it. You can't go out. Bell rings. Yuppie chef. Someone just ordered us Yuppie chef and said, make a nice meal. Things that we didn't buy. Very nice things. Why? In lockdown, I went into overdrive. God, I need to work. I need to prove. I'm online now. People need to see what I'm doing. I need to minister to the church. We need to bombard them with the gospel. We need to be there for everyone. 2 weeks in, I was tired. I said, God, what's going on? He said, you're not trusting me. You're not trusting me. You're trying to make it and keep it by your own steam. And I said, Lord, that's true. I'm gonna work when I need to work. I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna be on time for my meetings. I'm gonna do good work. I'm gonna share. I'm gonna follow your leading. We're gonna preach in the church or the online, whatever. But Lord, I'm gonna trust you. You are my provider. And I promise you, within a week, the bell started ringing. It's not ringing now, so I must go check my heart again. But within a week, the bell started ringing and people just blessing us and just God stirring on their heart because He loves us. Won't you stand to your feet as I pray for us? Father, I thank you tonight that we could share just a word on making decisions with you, for you, and in you, Father. Thank you that you are in us. I'm going to just, as you close your eyes, open your hands, I'm just going to read those points again, and then I'm going to minister to you. It says, follow the peace of God, not your own peace. Spend time with God. Don't worry about a thing. Be single-minded. Focus your decision-making capabilities. Make decisions with God and follow His ways and godly counsel. Make bold decisions. Don't be afraid to make bold decisions with the Holy Spirit on your side. And then expect a good outcome. Expect glory.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.